If Nehemiah was to rebuild the walls of the city and restore the spirit of the Hebrew people, he knew he had to do something. Pray? Oh, yes, he did. But he also had to act. Not act in a rashly, risky, foolish way, but he had to act. Nehemiah did not act, however, until first determining the best plan of action. Chapter 2, it was the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Now, chapter 1, those same words, it was the month of Kislev. In chapter 1, it was December, our December, and now it is 4 months later, our April, the month of Nisan. Nehemiah has waited 4 months before he acted. And he was doing something during those months, surely. He was working through exactly what he would say to the king. Whenever he came before the king to taste the king's wine, maybe an opportunity would present itself that he could then tell the king, why don't we do this? He didn't act without a plan, but more importantly, he didn't act without a prayer. 4 months of fasting and praying that God's will would be done at the right time. So we pick up chapter 2, verse 2. He comes before the king, and he looks sad. And the king says, why does your face look so sad? When you're not ill, this can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, Nehemiah wrote. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruin and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, what is it you want? The opportunity that Nehemiah had been waiting for and had been praying for, his opportunity to speak before the king about going back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the walls of the city, it's right here. Nehemiah had ended his prayer, recorded in chapter 1, give your servant success, verse 11. Give your servant success by granting me favor in the presence of the king. And here he is. Nehemiah in the presence of the king, and the king said those words, what is it you want? If you're Nehemiah and you're before the king, and the king has said, what do you want? Nehemiah does well. He says, and then I prayed again to the God of heaven. Then I prayed again to the God of heaven. And then I answered the king. Nehemiah, so desiring to act in the way that was in accordance to the purpose and the plan of God, before he jumps in, he pauses one more time to pray. Nehemiah refused to act before praying. Oh, if we were only more like Nehemiah. We'll come back to that. What is it you want? I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I answered the king. Verse 5. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild the city. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, said, how long will the journey take, and when will you be back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. And then I said, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the city of the citadel, the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the home that I will occupy. What a plan. King, I want to go. I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to go back home. And while I'm going, could you help me get there safely with the safe travel and safe passage? And, well, could you send me a letter that I could pick up some timber along the way to build the walls and my house? I mean, while you're asking, you might as well ask for it all. And he did. Nehemiah had a plan, and his plan was covered in prayer. He took his passion and he put it into action, and it's all covered in prayer. Verse 8, and because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. Nehemiah did not act hastily. He did not act on the spur of the moment, but he did act. That passion and that prayer, it came to action. Verse 9, Nehemiah goes. He goes with the governors. He goes across the Trans-Euphrates. He has the king's letters in his hand. The king sends army officers with him, even sends the cavalry. He makes it. He stops by and picks up some timber. It's like going through East Texas. He picks up the best timber, and he makes his way to Jerusalem. And now he's there. Verse 11, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone that what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate. I examined the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and the gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on that night toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there wasn't enough room for my mount to get through this portion of the gate. So I went back up the valley by night, examining the wall all the time. Finally, I turned back and re-entered the city through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone. The officials did not know what I was doing because I, as yet, had said nothing to the Jews, or the priests, or the nobles, or the officials, or any others would know of what I was doing for the work. Nehemiah was a man on a mission as he toured the city that night with open eyes. Now, he was in the city 3 days before he ever started his plan. He is working the plan. He is developing the action, and I believe he is praying all the while. And here's the key portion of chapter 2, verse 17. And then I said to the people, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruin, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. And I told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me, and they replied, let us start rebuilding. And they began the good work. The walls of the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt. The spirit of the people of God was being rekindled. Nehemiah's passion has moved to action, and God is in the midst of it all. Nehemiah's passion that he had about going to Jerusalem, his passion he had as he cried tears for this city, as recorded in chapter 1, this passion has now moved into a vision. And the vision wouldn't just happen automatically. He had to flesh it out. He had to move that passion into action. Passion and action, they go together. Now, everyone didn't agree. Did they even know who this guy was? He's simply the cupbearer of the king. He's been gone all of these years, and he shows up, and for 3 days, he just looks around, doesn't do a thing, and then in the middle of the night, like Paul Revere, he rides around and looking at the gates, and then he tells the people, we need to rebuild. But his passion was so powerful. His vision was so impeccable, so amazing that the people said, sounds like politics. Yes, we can. Yes, we can start rebuilding. Now, the pessimists were there. You can't do this. We'll look more about them next week. Always pessimists, always naysayers. We don't have enough money. You didn't bring the right type of wood. It'll never happen. Do we really need this wall? Nothing's wrong with the wall as it is. You can just hear them. And Nehemiah says, God will give us success. Snippet. God will give us success. I'm convinced what was true of Nehemiah as he attempted to rebuild the walls and restore the spirit of the people of Jerusalem in the 5th century B.C. is also true of us today as we seek to claim God's future for our church and beyond. Our community, if our church is to thrive in the days ahead, if we're going to build on the foundation of God's purpose, after 136 years, if First Baptist Church is going to continue to build on the purpose and the plan of God, we must be a people of prayer, and we must be a people that live with our passion and that prayer must, yes, then lead us to action. Purposeful action. The king said, what do you want? And after praying, he told him. And after looking at the city and praying some more, he told the people. What will we do? I want to offer a suggestion to you this morning. I hope you'll hear it carefully. I would like to submit that during the months of October, November, December, Nehemiah waited 4 months. We can at least wait 3. During the months of October, November, and December, that as a church we would commit to passionate prayer with the purpose that God would lead us to the right action for our church in the year 2020. Hear that again. In the next 3 months, October, November, and December, that we as a church would commit to passionately prayer. Oh God, to pray. Oh God, what is your plan for us as a church? The right action followed by our passion and prayer. Now, your church staff, we've already been praying and we're even beginning to think of an action plan. But I don't want us to get ahead of God. If Nehemiah could wait after all these hundreds of years, 4 months, for the right opportunity, then it won't hurt us to wait 3 months. Now, it's easy to say that and for us to say, yes, that's what we're supposed to do as a church. Yes, we'll pray. But will we really? What would happen if in our Sunday school classes for the next 3 months, every Sunday morning, we began that Sunday school class with prayer for God's vision for our church? What would happen is during our midweek Wednesday activities, every class began with a prayer for the purpose of 2020 for our church. If even our committee meetings, building committees and finance committees, if we began by praying, oh God, what is your vision for our church? If in our homes, we made that a part of our prayer around the meal table and your individual prayer time with all the needs that you have, if you wouldn't today add to that prayer list, oh God, give us your vision for our church. Pray about our mission and ministry. What are we going to do in 2020 for global missions? The needs in our world are huge. What is our global vision and our local vision? It's not either or, it's both and. How do we do missions and ministry within the walls of the church? And how do we do missions and ministry outside the walls of the church? Pray about missions and ministry. Pray about spiritual growth, spiritual formation in your own life. We like to give, again, lip service to, we need to read God's word, we need to pray. But what are we doing about that? How are we growing in our understanding of God's word in our life, in spiritual discipleship, spiritual discernment? What are we doing in the area of evangelism, of spiritual formation? We are building a $5 million building for preschool and children. Not so we can have a beautiful building alone, but so that children and families know we are concerned about spiritual growth and depth, that our children learn of God's love and God's grace and God's ways, spiritual formation. Would you pray about that? Pray about worship. What do we do in this room? We have some new lights, and they're great. And we're working on the sound system, and it's kind of going up and down today. And our front doors actually open and close. Thanks be to God, after 135 years, they open and they close. But what we do in this room, corporate worship, it's not about what I like or not about what you like, but it's what God likes. As we corporate come together to offer our worship to Him. Oh God, what is your vision, your plan for our worship? And yes, fellowship, pray about our fellowship. God has blessed us with incredible, wonderful unity of heart and spirit and mind. Let us never take it for granted, but let us continue to pray. God, what can we do? What is your plan for intergenerational fellowship, for all walls, all barriers to be broken down as we stay as one? Passionate prayer for the next 3 months can lead our church to actions and can have potential that will not only transform us as a church, but can transform our city in this coming year. You say, but how do we do that? And what does that look like? I don't know. Verse 20, the naysayers, Nehemiah said, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start our action. The God of heaven, through our passion and our prayer, God will lead us to the right action. Peter Marshall was the former chaplain of the United States Senate. Every day that the Senate was in session, Marshall would lead their opening prayer. And one day his prayer was simply one sentence as he prayed, God, save us from hot heads who lead us to act foolishly, and from cold feet that would keep us from acting at all. Amen and amen. Shall we pray? Yes, God, hot heads can lead us down a crazy path of foolish action, and cold feet can keep us from acting at all. Give us neither, but give us a passion, and let us cover it with prayer as we seek your mind to be your people in this place at this time, walking side by side with you. Not lingering behind, definitely not walking ahead, but walking in accordance to your plan for our church. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. We're going